The church's greatest threat today isn't external opposition. The biggest threat comes from an internal irrelevance, born from biblical illiteracy and cultural compromise. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll sounds an urgent alarm. We're witnessing a dangerous erosion of theological knowledge and world engagement among believers. But there's hope. And in today's study, Chuck delivers a clarion call to action, challenging Christians to stop merely surviving and start thriving through deeper scripture study, authentic community, and spirit-empowered witness. Teaching from Romans chapter 15, Chuck titled today's message, Encouraging Words of Affirmation.
Back in 1993, Dr. David Wells released a book that shook up the evangelical world. He called it No Place for Truth, with the subtitle, Or Whatever Happened to Evangelical Theology. In the book, he describes the erosion that has been occurring, the theological drift, churches losing their influence, turning more toward entertainment. This is in 93. The embarrassing ignorance of biblical and theological knowledge. James Montgomery Boyce, in his fine work on Romans, fourth volume, writes this regarding the same subject. A while ago, I asked the faculty at, and he names an evangelical seminary. I'll not name it. I asked the faculty at an evangelical seminary what changes they had noticed in seminary students in recent years. As I read this, by the way, I thought about my alma mater, Dallas Seminary, and I thought, could this be said of us? Probably so. Boyce continues, David Wells was present at this gathering, and he replied that he had noticed four things. First, that each entering class was more biblically illiterate than the last. Second, each class seemed to be filled with more individuals who were swamped with their own personal problems and thus were thinking mostly about themselves rather than about their studies or how they might help others. Third, they had a greater sense of their own personal rights or entitlements. They expected everything to be done for them. And fourth, they were sold out to and mostly uncritical of the surrounding culture. Boyce adds, I find that frightening now and with a glance to the future. Can it be said of us that we are complete in knowledge? The church in Rome was. What's going to happen to us if we are not? Listen to me. Our hope for survival is our knowledge of the truth. Our hope for sustaining an impact and remaining a unique local assembly is our commitment to biblical exposition, the feeding of the flock of God, whether the children are ages 4 to 12 or the teenagers are coming along to be taught the things of God. Every adult fellowship, every pulpit message is to be dripping with the information, the knowledge of God. It is the knowledge of God and theology, biblical truth, that is essential for our survival. It is the key to remaining people of discernment in a time in which people have lost their way. It is the antidote for resisting superstition, opinions, political statements, and politically correct thinking. It is the best shield against cultural assaults, the best way to prepare our young for the future. Moms and dads, the churches can do just so much, including this one. We're like a relay team. The baton is yours through the week. Run with it. Do your job. Teach your kids. Get engaged in a study of the scriptures on your own, men and women. Don't just live on my messages. I deliver them only once a week here. And when you get them, they're pre-digested, which kind of puts a new slant to it, doesn't it, when you think about it? This is your book. This is God's word written in your language that you can understand. It's your move to read it and to claim it, to take it to work with you in its principles, to apply it in your neighborhoods, to use it in your homes, to let it rebuke you and correct you and lead you into righteousness. Being full of knowledge won't happen by osmosis because you sit next to somebody else who's in Bible study fellowship. It'll come because you personally are disciplined in the growing up of your life in the Scriptures. Thank God we have this book. From it, we are guided into a path that will never lead us astray. He is impressed, and he tells them that you are fully informed and aware. You see, when you gain knowledge of the truth, you see your times in a whole different way. You realize how far off the politicians are. You realize how far off the media has gone. You're able to discern truth from error and even the subtleties. You're able to see the double messages. And those things that they think are subliminal become loud messages that you grasp because you're gaining in knowledge. Please get into the Word of God on your own. There's more. The end of verse 14, you are also able to admonish one another. So let's use these words. They were genuinely competent to instruct and admonish. Genuinely competent to instruct and admonish. Such a rich construction of words here. Even the little word able, little four-letter word laying there on the page, little piece of black print, you'd pass over it. But it's the word dunamis from which we get our word dynamic, which is transferred to our term power. Let's use the word empowered. You, Romans, you, people of this church, you are empowered with your knowledge to admonish one another. See the word admonish? Two words. Get this. One word is nous, N-O-U-S, the mind. The other is tithemi. It's a term that means to place or to put. When you put them together, to put something in the mind, you are empowered to put something in the mind of someone else that will help them. Sometimes it's a confrontation. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's just simply counsel. Eugene Peterson in The Message renders this, you're quite capable of guiding and advising one another. Williams, New Testament, you're competent to counsel one another. The New International Version renders this, you are competent to instruct one another. How helpful this can be in the lives of each other. If you like marking your Bibles, I wish you would write in the margin, right there by verse 14, this verse, Proverbs 27, 6. Proverbs 27, 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The Hebrew reads in so many words, trustworthy are the bruises caused by the wounding of one who loves you. Isn't that good? Ever been bruised? Why were you bruised? You received a blow. You ran into something. Something hurt. Trustworthy are the bruises brought about by the wounding of one who loves you. It doesn't mean we walk around criticizing everybody we're with. It's limited to those we love. So let's go there. Some of the best counsel I've gotten have been from those mentors who loved me enough to tell me the truth, the hard truth, things that I may not have wanted to hear, but they've shaped my life. That's why we're grateful for parents who told us the hard thing, and maybe still do. We still do it. Isn't that interesting? I mentioned our 40-year-old daughter the other day, earlier. The other day, she was leaving the house. It was real cold, and I said, don't forget to put your coat on. She goes, Dad, I'm 40. I know to put the coat on. I know. Just old habits. Aren't you grateful somebody told you to put your coat on spiritually? Aren't you grateful somebody pulled you aside and said, you need to know something? This is offensive. What you do is arrogant. Or your words come across very insincere. Now, you're alone, and they love you, and they have the right to wound you, and it's trustworthy. It says you're competent to do that. You know how you've earned the right? Your knowledge and your love. and you're good. When I know someone has my good at heart, that that person loves me and has a knowledge of the truth, please, I'm all ears. Now, be careful how you apply this. Before we know it, we'll have 25 people confronting one another before we leave the place today. It doesn't work like that. When you do it right, no one else knows about it. I love this next one. But I've written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the nations. It's ethnos, translated here Gentiles. We could render it nations. Ministering as a priest the gospel of God. Isn't that great writing? Paul sees himself as a priest, and what he's saying is, I'm passionately committed to the world outside my own. Passionately committed to the world at large. One of the secrets of our survival will be our commitment to world mission, our commitment to those who have never heard, our commitment to those across the street, across the states, and across the seas, our commitment to people where you work, and you are the witness, our commitment to reaching out to them. He says it in this way, I'm a minister of Christ Jesus to the nations, ministering as a priest to the gospel of God. What's a priest's duty? Check the Old Testament. A priest stood between the people and their God. And the priest offered up offerings that connected the people to their God. For Paul, that meant that he stood between the nations and their God. And though he was Jewish in birth and in training, he saw beyond his own race and realized that God had called him to reach out and to offer the sacrifice of the Gentiles to God as he gave them the gospel, the good news of Christ. He's working in sacred things. That's sort of woven into the text. And the sacred thing for him is the sharing of the good message. You know what we have here? We have another statement regarding the damnable impact of isolation. One of the things I've loved about the ministry of women of faith, when you talk with the ladies, as they describe what God's doing, they're all excited and they're all thrilled. Not one of them lately is, I don't think ever, has told me how many are there at their meetings. And they're in the thousands. But boy, when they get a chance, they'll say 2,437 came to Christ as a result of that weekend. Yeah! That's what gets them up early and sends them to bed late. That's what puts them on the road so many weeks out of the year. But that's them. How about us? If you're isolated, you don't even know how to bridge the statement to serve as a priest. Philip Zimbardo, when he was at Stanford University, released an article on isolationism that stung when I read it. He wrote, I know of no more potent killer than isolation. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. It has been shown to be a central agent in the etiology of depression, paranoia, schizophrenia, rape, suicide, mass murder, and a wide variety of disease states. Let those words hit you and remember back to the last mass murder you read about. And when you check out the one who was the predator, the murderer, almost without exception, they're isolationists. They live alone. Their lives are haunted and hunted by twisted thinking, enraged thoughts. Those are the words of Professor Philip Zimbardo, respected authority on psychology, a man who faces the blunt blows of reality in daily doses. His words are not only true, they are downright frightening. No longer are we a share and share alike people. We are independent cogs and silos in complex corporate structures. We wear headsets when we jog or do the lawn, go to class or eat in the cafeteria. Our watchword is privacy. Our commitment is short term. Our world is fast adopting the unwritten regulations so often observed in elevators, quote, absolutely no eye contact, talking, smiling, or relating to one another without written permission from the management. The Lone Ranger, once a fantasy hero, is now our model, mask and all. Don't go there. It's a dangerous way to live. you'll change. You'll change. We're back to the camel in the zoo. You're made for the wild. You're made for the world. I warn all of us, as important as church is to every one of us, and no one believes in it more than I do, it can become like the zoo to an animal. It is a launching pad, not a place to hibernate. Missions is not a department in the church. It's the vision of our future. This neighborhood, I can do it 360 degrees. They're all around us. Most of whom could not fill out a 3x5 card on who is Jesus. You may remember the interviews we did at the mall. Not one person we interviewed, and they were all intelligent individuals, could in simple, clear, confident words answer the question, who is Jesus? You hear more truth in one day than the average individual will hear in a lifetime. Do something with it. Take it with you. We can't leave out this last one. We may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Let's call this deeply dependent on the Holy Spirit. Deeply dependent on the Holy Spirit. How easy to leave this all-important trait out of the picture. We're deeply dependent on you, O Lord. Think of it this way. Any activity, if it isn't energized by the Spirit, is energized by the flesh. If it's energized by the flesh, then you can pull it off. And you have a reason to brag about it. If it's energized by the Spirit, you often find yourself amazed at how God used you in this remarkable manner in a way that you never thought could happen. A testimony shared, energized by the Spirit, is effective. An act of kindness, even a random act of kindness, that's energized by the Spirit, leaves whoever receives that kind act taken back. A visit to the sick, a sermon preached, a warning given, a class taught, a child loved, a discouraged soul lifted up, done in the power of the Spirit. Oh, the rewards await you. He says that it all may become acceptable and set apart by the Holy Spirit. So it's time for a little heart surgery. In this case, there's no one that will do it but you. You're the only one who knows the answers. First yourself, and then let's go to your realms of ministry. Quickly now. Think first of your life. Answer these. Are you becoming full of goodness? When folks think of you, do they think, what a good person that is? What a good friend. Are you growing in your knowledge? Are you diligent to grow and learn and read widely and wisely? Are you reading outside the fields of theology and Bible? Are you aware of the world around you? E. Stanley Jones was asked once how he would describe the church. He gave one word answer that was suddenly a grabber. The one word I would use is irrelevant. Irrelevant. Your knowledge will keep you relevant, in touch, aware, in the right sense, confident. You will no longer see yourself as a victim, but you'll see yourself as one of the fingers in the hand of God, at work, on the move. Third, are you faithful to admonish? Just the circle of those you love, do you tell them the truth? The truth. That alone is an admonishment. Now let's think next of your ministry. Are you passionate about reaching out beyond your own world? Please cultivate it. Please go there. Otherwise, irrelevance will mark your life. Finally, do you consciously and daily lean on the Lord? Lord, today, before I even get up, I want you to know that this is your day. I'm going to face some things today that I dread. I'm going to be in touch with some individuals that are hard to be with. I'm going to have some challenges that I don't even know about. I can't do it in my own self. If I do, I'll become retaliatory. I'll get angry. I'll react. And I'll ruin your reputation. So, Lord, I lean on you today. I place myself at your disposal. And just as soon as my feet hit the floor until I'm back in this bed, Lord, I'm yours. See through my eyes. Use my vocal cords and speak your words. Use these ears to hear what you would hear. Give me discernment. Give me gentleness. Give me a willing spirit to learn and to keep growing. Soften my stubborn nature. Help me to listen to people who love me. Without you, I can do nothing. Let's bow our heads. There's a song that says, "Speak, Lord, in the stillness as I wait on thee." My prayer is that he will do that in the stillness of these moments. No reason to be overbearing and read you the questions again. You've heard them, but maybe you've not yet answered them. It may take you a while to answer them in true honesty. Take your time. Truth be told, you may have to say when you answer them, "I don't even know Jesus. I'm finding out who he is, and I'm realizing he died on my behalf. And I've kind of let that lay around in my mind, and today I want to do something about that. So, Jesus Christ, I release it to you. I'm lost, and I need you to bring me to a purposeful reason to live. And I can't do it without you. Thank you for coming into my life. Lord, help us know what to do with what we have heard. Some of it represents a familiar word, but somehow in a special way you have caught our attention, and I pray that it will, for many who hear these words, that it will make a significant difference. That many who have heard these things will be different this week. The Bible will be opened in that home and heart. That an act of goodness will flow, a word of kindness, that there will be a deliberate leaning on your spirit and even a tactful and gracious way of opening our mouths to speak of your son to someone else. And Lord, perhaps you have someone we're to admonish, but we dare not do that in the flesh. Otherwise, it's an offensive rebuke. So guide us, Lord. If we know someone that needs to be restored, guide us. Keep us from just ignoring that. May we take this word and may it make a difference. Now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and one day present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever and ever. And everyone said, amen.
This passage in Paul's letter to the Romans offers five essential qualities that mark a healthy Christian life. Cultivate goodness, grow in biblical knowledge, speak truth in love, reach beyond your circle, and lean daily on the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll titled this study in Romans 15, Encouraging Words of Affirmation. Stay with us for some personal comments from Chuck. But first, we're excited to offer a brand new hardbound 25-day Advent devotional published exclusively by Insight for Living. This creative book, written by our own Carlos Sisueta along with Chuck, is called Everlasting Light. We'll give you all the details on that in just a moment. But first, here's Chuck with some encouragement for us.
My friend, you know what I love about joy? It's one of those virtues that grows stronger the more you share it. It multiplies. Here's the deal. Your financial generosity toward Insight for Living empowers us to send a wave of encouragement across the land, extending what people are truly longing for, the joy of Christ. Remember that wonderful verse, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Friend, that's not just a nice saying. It's a promise. When you experience the joy that comes from knowing Jesus, you discover a supernatural source of strength that carries you through life's toughest moments. And here's something that thrills my heart. Your year-end donation flows from God's own delight in seeing His word proclaimed. Think about that for a moment. When you give, you're participating in something that brings joy to the heart of God Himself. It reminds me of those shepherds on that first Christmas night. They heard the good news and couldn't keep it to themselves. The angel said it would bring great joy to all people, not just some people, all people. This Christmas, we celebrate Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, who is our everlasting light. He came to bring joy that the world cannot manufacture or destroy. That's exactly what happens when you support Insight for Living. You're bringing great joy to all people, people in your own community, and listeners around the world who desperately need hope. Your partnership at year end ensures that the joy of Christ continues reaching hearts everywhere through radio, online, and every platform we use. Together, we're spreading joy that lasts, and I look forward to hearing from you today.
And when you respond to Chuck Swindoll, be sure to request your copy of the Advent devotional, Everlasting Light. This hardbound 25-day treasure from Insight for Living will help your family prepare for celebrating the birth of the Savior. And your gift will help others embrace the hope of the Christ child, our everlasting light. Thanks so much for giving generously as you measure the impact of Chuck's teaching on your life and countless others. To send your donation and your request in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/donate. What was it like traveling side by side with the Apostle Paul? I'm Bill Meyer. Don't miss Chuck Swindoll's portrayal Thursday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Encouraging Words of Affirmation, was copyrighted in 2008, 2010, and 2025, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2025 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.